Is that why your hair sticks up?
There'll be extra bonus content in the video, though.
And us rolling our eyes.
Gotta stand up for this one.
Oh my God.
There's action.
Reaction.
Welcome to another episode of the Chow.
Down,
my
Wolf, down, ooh. down, Wolf.
Welcome to a child care bar.
Why are you breathing so heavy?
There's a wolf chewing on my leg.
Lisa, get rid of this wolf.
Hello.
Today we are engaged in an active exploration of the creation of a non-Newtonian fluid. Bye-bye, Wolf.
Oh, hey, the wolf is leaving.
Yeah, why is that?
What the hell?
He who owns the language owns the debate.
Well, you know, the whole wolf thing, I thought that was like people wolves, not wolfy wolves.
Well, you know, a people wolf can look like a wolfy wolf.
Oh, crap. We got so much to learn.
We have so much to talk about.
Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill. That was a little bit of what we call improv and... And scene.
And
scene. Today we're going to be talking about...
Obscene. Different than obscene.
That might be the next episode if we keep drinking. We're doing good. We're going to be talking about wolves. And this has been a request, and it's been multiply requested. There have been multiple requests for this topic.
Nice.
And we haven't been doing it because Lisa Murphy's like, I do that all the time. What do they want to know about that? And I'm
like, I did not say like.
And I'm like, well, they think you're Lisa Murphy because you are, and you're here, so they want to hear. So they want to hear you talk about it. So Lisa Murphy, talk about wolves.
Okay, breathe.
Oh, my leg.
Well, that'll teach you to stand up.
Damn wolves! I was just trying to stand up to the wolves.
Oh, now you're trying to get all deep.
No.
He's like, no.
That's not me. It's not my style.
Sorry, I have a podwig hair in my nose. Podwig hair, not like an earwig in my nose. So a wolf, by definition, and you know this if you've been in my audience, is any person who walks into your room is like, what's your goal, what's your objective, and what's your outcome? And you're like, well, my goal is for you to get out of my room. So what do I need to say in order to make that happen?
Make you go the hell away.
Yeah. What do I have to do or say? So if you're listening right now and you are in any way an administrator or a director or an owner or a principal, seriously, with every bit of honesty and love in my heart, you're not automatically a wolf just because you are in that capacity. And that's really important because when I first kind of rolled out this material that I was working on, I was accused of being anti-admin. And you're like, dude, that's not the intention at all. Here's what I know. Take a breath. If it doesn't matter actually what your job description is, if you are somebody, and this is not a judgment call, but if you're somebody who needs some assistance in seeing that when kids are actually playing, the L word is happening. What's the L word?
Learning.
When kids are playing, they are learning. And many of us see that on our own. And that's not good or bad or better or anything like that. It's just that some people just don't sit and they need a little bit more assistance. So in my world, if you don't see that on your own, you're a wolf. And that's not bad. It just means that you're a wolf. And that means that our job is to assist you in seeing what we see organically.
And so for our listeners, we've got some listeners that are parents, and I'm assuming if they're listening to this show, they kind of get it.
They might get it, yes.
In a center setting, parents can be wolves.
Parents can be wolves. Your co-teacher can be a wolf. The director can be a wolf. The lady down the street can be a wolf. In my world, it really is that easy. Don't overthink it.
Okay.
If you don't see on your own, and honestly, this is not a pointing finger at all. If you don't see on your own, if I would need to take a few minutes to explain to you, show you, explain to you how when a child spends 45 minutes in the block center, there's quote unquote learning happening there, then you're a wolf. It's not good or bad or indifferent. It's just what you are and where you are. But it's my job as the teacher, as the provider, the co-parent, to be willing to take the time to show you how this is not just your kid futzing around in the block center, but when your kid is in this area, these are the things that your child has been exposed to that they're learning about. So I see our job as one of an, I like the word ambassador.
Oh.
And I think that we are obligated to learn the language that we need to then link back to those various areas in the room. I think that's our job. So to communicate with the wolves, wolves are not bad people.
No.
Wolves are people who have probably areas of expertise and training that just, it's different than ours.
Like killing deer out in the, they,
No, wolf.
Different wolf, okay.
Different podcast.
Okay.
I'm shaking my head.
Tasha's like, oh my God. Tasha looks like Tom Murphy right now. Yeah, just shaking his head back and forth. Wolves typically have areas of training and expertise that are just different. They're often business people. Mm-hmm. They're often a junior high specialist. They're often administrative experts. That's great. We need that.
Yeah.
But to come into an early childhood environment and just assume that because you're in that position of authority and then infer somehow that you kind of have a handle on child development, that's a little inaccurate because if the tables were turned.
Yeah. If I showed up to do brain surgery.
I don't show up into the, you know, superintendent's administrative meeting and just assume that because we're all under the umbrella of education that somehow what I have to say is what's going to be relevant and meaningful to that meeting, right? Mm-hmm. So we get that. But for some reason, because we work with three-year-olds, often we're treated like three-year-olds. Oh,
yeah. So not all wolves are bad?
No, they're not.
Some.
I think there's always a person out there potentially who has that like intentional maliciousness, like they don't like little kids being now a part of their campus. You know, they've been a K-8 building and now they have to go get the pre-K and they're just not really sure what's going on. You know, is that happening? I'm sure that's probably happening somewhere.
And I don't want to be judgmental about it or anything or you know, but I mean, some people are just asses and that's the reality we got to deal with. But 90.9.
But they'd be an ass if they were working
exactly. Exactly. If they were in this profession and doing this job in New Play, they'd still be an ass.
An ass.
So
an ass is
just
an
because
ass is an
because
ass.
Some of those people are like that. I mean, we can't paint all the wolves with that brush.
No. And you can't paint every administrator with a wolf brush because not every administrator
Absolutely.
Is a wolf. And that is actually important.
But those brushes are frequently used.
And you can't do that. You have to be mindful. Don't make assumptions.
Again,
just because they're in the office doesn't mean they're not on your side.
And that mindfulness is something, again, one of those things we keep spinning back to.
And kind of harping them on, I think, a little bit. So I think if you were to leave right now and this is the only pod you ever heard that we did, I would want you to be, if you're listening right now, I would want you to realize that you have the ability to link language to the things that you're doing. My takeaway message when I'm talking to folks in the audience is that I don't want you to stop doing what you've been doing. I want you to learn the language that resonates and connects with the wolves so that you can keep doing what you know you should be doing. So you don't stop doing Play-Doh. You learn that a wolf, when the wolf walks in, they don't care. And it's not that they're mean. They just don't care. Uh-huh. So when you're like, oh my God, we had so much fun and we played in the Play-Doh and we made the fresh and the coffee Play-Doh and we rolled it, they don't care. But if you take that experience that the children had and you link language like when we were squeezing the Play-Doh, we were strengthening that last muscle in the hand that needs to be strong before they can hold a pencil. So by translated, that means by doing Play-Doh, we're doing pre-writing and we're getting children ready. That is going to be language that resonates with a wolf. And as somebody who's in conversation with wolves, you need to master that language component. Mm-hmm. He who owns the language owns the debate. So you don't stop doing it because the wolves maybe don't like it. You learn that language that's going to bridge between what you know you need to be doing, but what they kind of understand and appreciate. Yes. This head is giving me a headache. Start talking. I have to take it off. My brain is squished.
It's growing, and there's just so much in there trying to get out. My brain needs to
Holy
breathe.
Crap, there's brain on the floor in the studio.
Oh, no. Podcat, come and look that up. Hey, podcast listeners. If any of you happen to have a friendly
I knew he was going to do this. Pod dog?
You've been mentioning it. If any of you happen to have a friendly kind of a large dog. I think large dog. Not like a little annoying dog, but yeah, that perfect. And this is the big thing we need. We need nice, snuggly, and likes to eat stuff off the floor.
We need a garbage dog. We need a sweeper for the kitchen when I cook.
We need a garbage dog. So if you happen to have a garbage dog you'd like to lend us for our next recording session.
But link it to the patron.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. There might be an opportunity for your dog to join us here on set.
If you sponsor us at a certain level, your dog might be able to be our pod dog.
Our pod dog. And you would of course have to show up and clean up your dog's poop.
And handle your dog.
Handle your dog.
Because there's cats here, there's pod cats. Yeah.
And in case, and having a dog at Brown would be good in case the wolves came too, because dogs would be like,
and the wolves would be, that's your job.
I just throw my leg out there and
your job is to be like,
I lay on the deck and look like a roadkill or something. They take care of me.
Okay, whatever works.
Okay. And so the wolves.
They're not evil, mean, nasty.
Not evil, mean. Okay, now I got a question.
Ask me.
The term wolf, though, that sounds mean and...
Okay, so full disclosure, and at some point this was going to need to come out anyway. Not that it's bad, but Mimi Shenfield, with her blessing, gave me permission to use that. That's actually Mim's word, is the wolf. And if you... Teaching in the Key of Life, she talks about the wolves. And with her blessing, I... Not stole it. That sounds kind of wrong. But I took what she was kind of playing around with.
Yeah, and I like the visual of it.
And I ran with it. And it worked.
Yeah.
It works. And that's why in my books, there's that picture of the wolf head so that you can link the language that the wolf might potentially connect with to that particular activity. But yeah, that was from Mim.
Let's talk about her for a second.
I love her.
She is freaking
awesome.
Let's
call her.
Oh, she would be...
You know what? If I was the boss of this podcast, I would like all of my friends would be like duly noted that at any moment of any given day,
you might get a phone call.
She's this time frame. From-
yeah, because who knows what time zone, right? Because they're all speakers too, right?
Well, yeah.
Where are you?
From this date to this date, she's just a ray of light, and I've only met her a couple times and haven't spent much time with her, but the time is she's just been so warm and friendly, and she gives
the cheeks.
Well, she did a grandma thing. I think she was all grandma-y with me, and I kind of dug that.
I saw her last in NACI, and it was at the keynote in the big, huge hall. And so we heard it was the arts something arts. Anyway, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I'm forgetting it. Anyway, so they did their thing, and it was very, very, very interesting using the arts to like meet core actually, and I, you know, it was over, and we were all leaving. There's, you know, however many thousand of people in that big hall, and where everybody, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna screw it up. There's a super secret bathroom over here. Nobody sees it. I'm gonna go pee before like 40,000 other women realize there's a super secret potty over here, right? So as I'm running in, and Mim comes running in, and I'm like, Mim, oh, Lisa, oh, and I'm, oh my God, I'm done. I'm drying my hands. You're running in. You clearly need to pee. But she took the time to give me a hug. It was so sweet. I'm like, no, go pee, go pee, go pee. I have a lot of amazing stories about her. She has been a big influence in my life. She watched Tom Murphy watch me one time. She watched Tom Murphy watch me do a keynote. I believe we were in Indiana, and she went up to him at the end, and she, you know, if you know Mem, she just gets all up in your, you know, and she did and she patted him on the face and said, "I watched you cavelling." And if you don't know the phrase, it's a Yiddish phrase, and cavelling, it's kind of that. It's very hard to translate. Like you're watching somebody, but your face glows. You look happy. There's a sense of pride, a connection. You're glowing for the person that you're watching. You're like, you're cavelling. You're just like, oh, this is amazing. I'm watching this. I'm experiencing this. She said, I'm watching you watch her. You're cavelling. And you need to go watch this movie. It's reminding me of this. The man used to do this with the wife. And I've never told her this. She told Tom Murphy to go watch this movie because it was reminding her of this movie. So we go get the movie because Mim says, oh my God, go get this movie. So we go get it. And God love her. What she didn't know is that I have a very strong, irrational fear. Do you know what I mean by this? Like, I know it's not going to happen, but it's
an ism? It
locked in. No, it's this is like a step irrational above that. Fear that I'm going to go crazy. I honestly have this worry that I am going to be like all, you know, like every time I look at a pencil and I forget that it's called a pencil and I'm like that thing with the eraser on the end that you write with, like I actually feel like agitated because I'm like, oh my God, there it is. There it is. I'm going crazy. Not knowing this, she recommends this movie about the husband in the back of the room cavilling over his wife, who is this like PhD level lecturer who goes crazy.
No PhD.
And by crazy, I mean like, you know, they find her in her jammies walking through the streets of England. Do you know what I'm saying? So she recommends this thinking it's this like, and it's so like in you and then, and all the love and then, and then I watch it and I'm like, oh my God, it's true. I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to be like writing a lecture and be like, I can't write anymore. And now I'm naked in the middle of the road. And I'm like, oh my God. And, you know, it's neither here nor there, but it was just so funny that, you know, what she told to Tom in such a positive, loving way, mm-hmm. she had no way of knowing that I carry this like little secret bit of baggage. And that one little super secret bit of baggage is what that movie is about. And I'm like, oh my God. So I made Tom Murphy turn off the movie.
And you'll have to never get your PhD.
No, I'll get a PhD,
well,
but
no,
I
that might be that might be tempting fate.
What, that I go crazy? Oh, yeah, I think I'm already crazy, dude. Yeah, at least I keep my pants on when I'm in the street at this juncture. And if you ever see me walking on the road, just go gently, just like put your arm around me and be like, it's time to go home.
Wait, you're wearing pants now? Awkward.
I had to look.
Are you wearing pants?
Define pants.
Yes.
I'm...
Chones or pants?
Awkward. Pants, just...
Podcat's going crazy.
Podcat's playing with his play pod mouse. That's awesome. Okay, so wolves. That's
yeah,
what we
sorry.
Were talking about.
Do we need to cut that out? Was that? Like,
oh no,
weird
no, that's
or,
that's good.
That was a lot of self disclosure right there. Lisa Murphy's worried she's going to go insane.
The book teaching in the key of life. Oh. Is a great read, and it's out on Amazon.
Everything by Mem.
Yeah, everything is it, by her is great.
And if you don't know, Mimi Bronski Shenfield, Chenfield, Mimi.
Yeah, check her out because the books are joyful reads, and there's a lot of good.
I love
good thoughtful content in there. And so she's the original Mama of the Wolf. Is that what you're
saying? She wrote originally she called them the wolves originally.
And then you inherited that and now it's just well, it's
I don't know. I
inherited
I maybe stole it I stole it with her blessing.
Stole it with
I don't know if there was an inherited. I think I stole it and she said, I know you stole it and you are okay. Yeah, I condone good. Your stealing.
It's all good, baby. And so the wolves show up and we've decided
you need to take a breath.
They're not bad.
They're not out to get you.
And
but
how?
if you in your brain think they are, then you're gonna see what you want to see, yeah. Right?
And so first we shake that off and we go neutral on them as a person.
This is a dude. Okay, so when I was teaching kindergarten and second grade out in California, your principal would walk in and instantly. It's kind of like when you're
rectum tightens, back straightens.
Your rectum tightens. It's like even if you know you're not doing something wrong, somebody of an authority walks in and you're like, oh my God, am I in trouble? What did I do? And even though you know, see, this is that irrational fear mm-hmm. and belief. I was not doing anything that I wasn't supposed to be doing, but because you showed up, it's like
yeah.
So you first gotta make peace with that. I'm doing what I know I need to be doing. So the fact that you walked in does not mean I'm doing something wrong. Breathe and hello, acknowledge, good to see you. Come on in. I'm welcoming you here because I'm not doing anything that I shouldn't be doing, mm-hmm. right? So ask me your questions and observe me and take your notes. And if I'm concerned or if my own stuff is getting in the way and I'm ruminating or overthinking, then I'm going to take the initiative and I'm going to say, hey, you know what? You were in my room. And I'm just wondering if we can have a conversation about what you were noticing. Is there anything that I need to be worried about? Because, and we've talked about the ruminating thing in the past, I'm going to make something up. If I'm worried about it and I don't take the time to check in, I'm going to make something up. And now I'm off. I'm 3 miles down a path that you didn't even know existed. Because I, for whatever reason, didn't check in with you to see, are we good? Are we not good? Is there something? So they come in and they ask their questions or they don't ask their questions, but you don't assume that they're there to get you.
Maliciously.
When I was a director, I wasn't a director. When I was the owner, but teaching in my school, the one thing that I wanted to be able to expect was that if I walked in and asked you about what you were doing, I didn't want my staff, and I say this now to the teachers that I mentor, I don't want you to ever think that because I'm asking you, like, what are you doing? That does not mean I'm wanting you to be defensive or to assume that because I'm asking you that I think you should be doing something different. My intention behind that question is, are you able to articulate what you're doing and why you're doing it and who you're doing it for? That's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking to make you feel antsy or uncomfortable. I want to make sure that at any given moment, if I called you to the carpet on what you're doing, you could talk to me about it.
Explain.
And not defend.
Not defend, explain.
Yeah, or not even explain. Like, well, I guess that is explaining. Why? Tell me about that.
What's happening
Talk here? To me about this. Yeah. What's going on here? And if I walk into your space and say, what's going on here, that doesn't mean that I'm going, what's going on
what's
here? Because
going?
I really think something different should be going on here. It's me just going like, what's going on? You know, what's going on? And talk to me about it. And if it's not a right time, I would expect that you had the huevos and the wherewithal and the chutzpah to be able to say to me, you know what, right now I'm really engaged in something going on over there that right now my body is over here, but my eyes are over there. And I really need to connect with you in about 45 minutes. Oh my God. I would just, I'm like having an amazing reaction. I would love to know that everybody who works in this industry had the ability to do that. That's all I want.
Yeah. That's all.
That's it.
Yeah.
Is that too big of a,
that's kind of a big thing. Yeah. There's two ways I want to go here though. I want to talk about how the people,
and then the glass broke.
The people in that room, how they get to the point where they have those answers, have those explanations. But first, how can those wolves walking into the room present themselves in a way, in a more non-threatening way? Because I think we talk about, we need to be able to respond to the wolves. I think the wolves need to be
fair enough. That's
responsible
that's very
enough
valid.
To.
Okay, so hold on. I get where you're going. Let me tell you where my brain is.
If people are scared of the wolves, we want to be able to pull the
wolves still get up every morning and put their pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else. That's the first thing that needs to happen. They're people.
Uh-huh.
They're people. Tom Murphy used to say their shit stinks in the morning, just like everybody else's. I'm sorry, that's so crude, but sometimes that helps people. When I did a gig a couple months ago, I don't even remember when it was, and they called me and they said, we want you to come and talk to superintendents and principals.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, are you wanting, willing, and able to do that? What's my response?
Is the check clear?
Yes, the check clear. Good Lord. But here's what I did, because I practice what we preach. So I put on Facebook, on the UWE page, I am going to have the undivided attention of principals and superintendents.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want me to ask them? And I took everything they would want me to say, and I made a word art, like 50 people said this, so it's bigger, and like 2 people said that, so it's kind of smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it to them, and I said, I'm loving this that we're doing, and here's what this is an international response to this question that I just posed, and this is what they want to know. And every single one of them said, we want you to be play-based. We want you to know what you're doing. We don't want you to compromise best practice, but we want you to be able to talk about what you're doing, because we're not always early childhood people. So there was this ownership of, I'm not that expert.
Mm-hmm.
We count on you to be able to be the expert.
Be the freaking expert.
Now, what was amazing then is, so I had this opportunity to go do this gig, and it was a great. 3 weeks later, I was in another state, and it was interesting. It was one of those, all the ECE people for the conference were over here, but at the same time, unbeknownst to everybody else, it was the principal's conference for that state. So I'm sitting at the bar. What a surprise. I fly in. I'm sitting at the bar. I'm eating my own dinner, and I'm seeing to my right this table that I'm like, I want to listen to what's happening at that table. So this one dude comes over. He was kind of flitting around the whole bar the whole time. And he came up and he's like, I'm going to order a round of drinks for this. And I said, stop, please stop. I know you don't know me and this is going to maybe sound really weird. I will buy this round of drinks in exchange for the opportunity to just there. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to be a part. I just want to listen to what principals and superintendents talk about at the end of the day. And he's like, I'll still buy the drink and I know them. They'll just let you pull up a chair. I spent the rest of the evening conversing with there were six of them at the table, principals, superintendents, and it was the same exact message, which is, I don't want you to come and tell me how to be a principal, and nor am I going to come and tell you how to be a preschool mm-hmm. teacher. But I said, I get that. And I, in my heart, I want to believe that you mean that, but there's still such a disconnect actually out where it's happening. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So how do we tighten that up? My experience has been, I've been invited in a handful of times to actually speak specifically to principals and superintendents, probably in the last 10 years, probably six, seven times. Specifically, they were the only ones in the audience. And what I get every time, and this might be a doozy for somebody, I don't know, is every single time the principals and the superintendents say, but that's what we want.
Yeah.
And but then the practitioners are saying, but that's not the vibe I'm getting. And my comment has been, we need to get y'all in the same room mm-hmm. because you're thinking as the frontline talent, you're thinking you're not allowed to do it, but your boss, who I just got paid to speak to, is saying, no, actually we want that. So who's messing it up because they're telling me they want you to do it. You're saying you don't feel that you're allowed to.
Now, well.
But really, your boss is telling Everybody me we want thing. You to be doing that.
Yeah. And is there another layer of wolves? Because the principals above them, they've got another layer of wolves above them, don't they? There's the school board, there's the state legislature, there's the Department of Education, all that kind of stuff.
Fair enough. I've not thought it through that far.
There's that step above there. And so they kind of have somebody breathing down, huffing and puffing for them. And so it all, I think at the core, it all comes down to individual responsibility for the choices that are being made, the decisions are going to be made, the way we present ourselves, and knowing our business.
If we collectively buy into this concept that we call education, mm-hmm. you know, is there somebody at the end of the day that's going to be ultimately responsible for that? You know, I don't know. That's not a question I've ever really kicked around. You know, I think that modern education is one of the biggest social experiments that's ever been done that nobody signed an ethical waiver or release form for. You know, I mean, I think it's the biggest social experiment we've ever done.
Here, kids, go here.
Yeah, where's that written?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You know what? We've spent just about 30 minutes talking about the wolves, and we haven't really brushed the surface on some of these things.
I don't even think we blew the dust off of it.
Yeah, and so this we may come back for wolves too. Yeah.
And
get into wolves do?
Wolves do.
Wolves do.
Pardon.
Hey, thanks for listening to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. We'll be back next week with another episode full of wigs and pod cats.
And pod dogs.
If you have a cute pod dog, if you have a dog that you'd like to be your pod dog, first thing, post a picture on the Child Care Bar and Grill Facebook
page. Yeah, because we're that superficial if it's not a cute dog.
Well, look,
look at us. Look at this. Look at this.
We are.
Your dog likes to wear wigs.
We are currently basically unknown podcasters in the pod universe. And we have very high standards about who we're going to associate with.
Do we?
We do. I can't be seen with so ugly dog. I mean, And I've got standards.
Because your other dog would get so jealous.
No, I've got no dog in the fight. I'm thinking chocolate lab, Irish setter,
Newfie.
Newfie would be good.
Pear.
Okay. What about one of those?
What about poodle? My dog? Otis B would love to clean up the floor. Well,
fly in with Otis next time. Have Tom bring him on the motorcycle.
On the motorcycle with the glasses
and the goggles. So right now Otis is in the running to be the pod dog. If you've got somebody who you think can compete with Otis post
B.
a picture. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Aloha.
Beep beep.
Beep beep.
I don't know what that was. I tried to say goodbye and it just,
what are you, a freaking roadrunner?
Danita, Lisa, and Jeff would love to hear from you. Leave a message at 888-401-6116 or connect online at facebook.com/childcarebarandgrill.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
For all your wig, party, and novelty needs, check out ustoy.com, the official wig sponsor of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Hey, if you want to support the show, there's a couple things you can do. You can go to iTunes and give it 5 stars. You can visit and comment on the Child Care Bar and Grill Facebook page. You can share the show with a friend, or you can become a patron and support us at patreon.com/explorations.